Well, we've reached this Sunday of the year. And for those of you who have absolutely no interest in either of the teams, I join you. But it's Super Bowl Sunday. Here we are, for better or worse, with teams that may give us an interesting game to watch. But if you are anything whatsoever like me, you watch the Super Bowl principally for one reason. The commercials. Yes, it is. We're watching for the funny commercials. I am myself looking forward to seeing Guy Fieri look like a perfectly normal person. And if you don't know what that means, watch. It's weird looking. It is. So we are a nation that likes our entertainment. We like football. And of course, the Super Bowl is the culmination of the season. None of the teams I like made it, but that's okay, you know. We're gonna watch the program anyway. And we may see some remarkable play. We may see individuals doing incredible athletic feats that, let's face it, none of us could replicate. In fact, I saw something the other day that said, at my age, I take my kids to the trampoline park, and it's a great way to meet new people. So today I met 3 paramedics, a nurse, a doctor, and almost Jesus. If I were to step foot on one of those playing fields and attempt a single play with those individuals, I would be spending the next 2 or 3 weeks in physical rehab and probably with multiple things broken and in the hospital. So I watch them and I'm amazed. I am amazed at the skill that they have built, the physical conditioning, the mental discipline to understand and perform all the tasks. So I watch the game with some degree of fascination at what they're doing. And hopefully we will see some remarkable athletics and some incredible plays, and yes, some very funny commercials. But in all of that, in all of the spectacle that will be the Super Bowl show, there is one thing that you might see if the camera pans at the exact right moment and you're paying careful attention. And in my opinion, it is one of the most important things that will happen in the entirety of that night, or tonight, I guess I should say. And that is, if you're watching at just the right moment and the camera pans at just the right second after the game has concluded, as happens at almost every single NFL game that is played, you will see a group of players from both sides of either team who will gather in the center of the field, kneel, and have prayer. You got to be watching, because they're not going to make it the centerpiece of they're not going to say, oh, and over here we have the players who are all gathered together for a word of prayer following the game. No, but it might show up on the camera by accident. And I know that that seems like a small thing that probably is significantly less important than the billions of dollars that will be spent on clever advertising, but in my opinion, that's the most important moment of the night. Because it reminds us that here is this group of individuals who've just spent a couple of hours quite literally beating the snot out of each other, who have walked away with bumps and bruises and contusions and maybe a little blood dripping here and there, and have done everything in their power to move one small leather ball from one side of the field to the other, who then think that instead of announcing that they're going to Disneyland, it is much more important to spend a few moments with each other in prayer. And maybe it doesn't get seen by a lot of people. Maybe it doesn't get experienced by an international audience watching it on television with the same degree of breathless commentary that every other single thing on that field will get reported on. But it is important that those individuals do that on the off chance that one person sees them praying together. The one person experiences that moment of, look at those people, what are they doing? And why are they doing it? And why is it so important that instead of celebrating their Super Bowl victory or lamenting their Super Bowl loss, that they have instead chosen to kneel with one another in prayer? This is what it means to be a city on the hill. To take every opportunity that we have to glorify God and to do so in a way that lifts him up so that the world sees God lifted up. And it's very different and complicated because, of course, there's a lot of the Bible that tells us to do a lot of our spiritual stuff in secret, right? You know, here's God who says, you know, if you're going to pray, go to your closet and do it. You know, here's a section that says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you're giving charity to people. Don't let yourself be tempted to announce your good deeds in front of others because you don't want to take credit for those things. They belong to God. And so how do we parse the difference between keep your good deeds secret and do God's work in a way that lights up the world around you? It's a difficult line to walk, isn't it? It has to do with what is happening in here. And let me tell you what, one of the things that make Christianity so difficult is that it has a lot to do with what's happening in here. Because two people can do the exact same thing with two entirely different motivations and one be righteous and one be wrong. So those football players that are going to gather and hold hands and kneel and say a word of prayer following the game, they're there to glorify God. They're there to honor God's presence in their midst. And they are there to witness to the crowds who are around that what gathers them and binds them and unifies them in the glory of Jesus Christ's salvation is greater than a game, greater than a rivalry, greater than teams, greater than anything else, and that they are truly one people under God. They're not standing in front of the camera and saying, hey, look at me, I'm a great person because I'm a Christian. They're standing side by side with one another and testifying to God's grace and mercy in their midst. See, this is who we're called to be. This is what we're called to do. We are called to be a light in the world that we live in. And let's talk about that world for a moment, shall we? I think having a conversation with my oldest daughter the other night has sort of summed it up for me. Just the other night in the car, we were talking about the news. I don't know if you are a big person for following the news. And if you are, God bless you, how do you do it? Because Katie said, I don't have the emotional bandwidth, which by the way is such a young person thing to say. I don't have the emotional bandwidth to watch the news too carefully. It is exhausting, anxiety-inducing, sorrow-making. She says, I just can't stand to see it. And I think I feel that so deeply. Maybe you do too. And it's gotten so it doesn't matter what side of the political gulf here in the world that you stand on, whether you're on the left, whether you're on the right, whether you find yourself trying to strike some sort of reasonable place in the middle, it's just painful to see how broken the world that we live in is. It hurts on a deep-seated level to watch the world that we live in consumed by so much darkness. And again, it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. You'll be able to find some darkness if you look for half a second. Just turn on the news. My wife and I, we once commented on the fact that we could set a timer that if you turned on the 5 o'clock news, 6 o'clock news, you could almost set a timer and you had about 7 minutes before they were going to report on some form of violence being perpetrated against a child. It was like, oh, we're 6 minutes into the news. Ah, there we go. Somebody got killed, somebody got kidnapped, somebody got hurt. It just seems like we live in a world full of darkness. So what do we do about that? I mean, isn't that really the struggle that we all feel? That sense of helplessness, that there's nothing that we can do to make the darkness not dark. So what do? We can't ignore it, even if we don't have the emotional bandwidth to process it. We can't not do something. Isn't that just making the world a little bit worse? So what do? First thing we don't do is we don't despair. We don't despair because we know that we have a Savior in heaven who is going to make all things right, who's going to bring hope and joy and peace and salvation eventually to this entire broken planet that we live on, and that He is offering it individually to each and every one of us in our lives. So we do not give in to despair, because that is not ours to give in to, because Christ overcame despair on the cross. So the first thing that we remember is that in Christ we have hope. Because through Christ we can do the most incredible things. If you look at our disciples, the 12 apostles, these are individuals who have absolutely no business in the job they're in. They have all lied on their resumes functionally. Not a one of these people were qualified to be apostle, and yet here they are preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, almost all of whom dying for their faith. They became the NFL all-stars of faith, even though they'd never once trained in their lives before they met Jesus Christ. So we know that Christ can do great things through each and every one of us. So what is it that we are called to do? Can we go to the places in the world that are dark and make them light again? Most of us probably not. We live here. We exist here. We do things here. So what do? We recognize that we are in service to God. And that in service to God, we are obedient to His will. And in obedience to His will, we shine light in the world that we live in. It is not our job to mourn the dark. It is not our job to curse the dark. It is not our job to focus in and obsess on the darkness of this world. It is our job singularly and solely to reflect the light of God's love into the world that we live in. It's all we can do. It's all we're called to do. It's all we must do, is be God's light in the world that we live in. In the place where we are, as much as we are able to do, wherever we are. We're not going to be able to make the whole world shine with the light of Christ. But we can make the corner that we're in do so. We may not be able to be superstars that go out and change the entirety of our nation, but we can change the community that we live in, the way that we interact with each other, the way that we talk to other people, the way that we view hope, the way that we express joy, the way that we show other people love. We can be God's light in their midst. And maybe we cannot change the world. We don't have to. Christ already did on the cross. All we have to do is live in that knowledge and reflect that light and be salt and light in the world that we live in, where we live, and as we are able to do so. And when we have done that, we take a deep breath. We say we've done what God has called us to do, and that's all that we can do. And then we know that there is hope in Christ and Christ alone for all the darkness of the world that we live in. So those football players who will kneel on that field, join hands, and say a word of prayer. That's all they're doing. They're taking their moment where they are in the midst of their process of their daily job. This is their work. And they're taking a moment to reflect God's light into their world and to show forth God's grace in their midst and to hold up that light for a moment. That's all we can do. That's all we have to do, because Christ has done everything else for us. Amen.